Thank you.
Thank you.
It says in the scripture, in the 12th chapter of Romans, this beautiful description of the church, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Betty Jane, thank you for using your gift. I can't write an anthem. I can't compose music, but you can. And that is a beautiful, beautiful anthem. You've blessed us with that this day. We've been thinking a lot about family lately. Joyce and I have. Many of you know that her mother died about 2 weeks ago at the wonderful age of 96. Her death was truly a blessing. It came as a friend. And when we had the opportunity to go to New Bern for the funeral service that was truly a celebration, we saw a lot of Joyce's family. We saw, she saw some of her classmates. We saw family, we saw friends, we saw a lot of folks from the Pollocksville Baptist Church. That's Joyce's home church. It was my first church as pastor. And so this past Monday, our daughter Lynn and her family came to visit with us, and Joyce and Lynn started going through old pictures. Have you ever done that? Pulled out a big box out of the closet. And we found all of these wonderful pictures from her background and mine. I found this picture. This is a picture of my great grandparents, their wedding day in the 1890s. I'll put them up here if you want to see it. Their wedding was in LA, Lower Alabama. And then I found a picture of my grandmother and my mother. I found another picture of my grandmother with her sisters and my great-grandmother. I found a picture of my ordination Sunday. I'm the guy with the hair on there. Yeah. So I found a great picture. We didn't know we had this. Of my daddy when he was in the Korean War. Found that. And then we found another picture that we didn't know we had. When I was the pastor at the Pollocksville Baptist Church, Joyce's brother Ben was the Sunday school superintendent. That's what you called it back then. And that we always had a big assembly in the sanctuary before they divided up into the Sunday school rooms. And here's a picture of Joyce's brother Ben leading the Sunday school assembly. Ben had a heart condition and he died way too young. And then we found a bunch of pictures like this. Daddy, who is that? I don't know. It might be Uncle Rippy, but I really don't know. And then Lynn handed me this picture and said, Daddy, is that who I think it is? And why do you have a picture of him, or why do we have his picture in our family picture box? Can you all see that? Can you tell who that is? Say it. Billy Graham. There's a picture of Billy Graham. No, I wasn't kin to him. The date, it was made with one of those little brownie cameras, remember? And it has the date on the picture, August 1962. My grandmother, in the summer of 1962, was a house mother at Ridgecrest. And one day, Billy Graham came over. You know, he didn't live too far from Ridgecrest. And she took a picture of him. And my grandmother had always respected Billy Graham. But she fell in love with him that day because she said, you know, he's just like everybody else. And when I think of Billy Graham, yes, I know he was probably the greatest preacher of the 20th century. He was the pastor to the presidents. But the thing that I respect about Billy Graham more than anything else was his humility. He was a humble servant of God. I heard a story a number of years ago that made an impression on me. It seems that Billy Graham was scheduled to go to Atlanta for some kind of conference, and there was a group of preachers sponsoring the conference, and they were making all the arrangements, and they realized that they were going to have to entertain Billy Graham all day long. So they knew he liked to play golf. So one of them called this country club, big exclusive country club in Atlanta, and told them Billy Graham was coming, and they said, well, you know, the date you gave us, that's a Monday. We're closed on Monday. But you don't understand, it's Dr. Billy Graham. He's coming. And they said, well, maybe we could make an exception. And then they called this exclusive dinner club about having a meal, and they did the same thing. We're closed on Monday, but if it's Billy Graham, we'll make an exception. So the guy that was in charge of all these arrangements was so proud of what he had done. So he called Billy Graham, and he started telling him, you know, they're closed on Monday, but they heard you were coming, and they're going to be open. Said there was just silence on the other end. And finally, Dr. Graham said, you know, said, I really feel a little awkward. Those people that work at that country club and that dinner club, they need a day off like everybody else. They need a Sabbath. He said, I would much prefer to go to a public golf course. And you know, I kind of like those cafeterias, like the K&W. So guess what he did when he went to Atlanta? I think it is interesting that in Paul's description of the church, he begins by saying the number one thing he talks about is humility. By the grace given to me, I bid every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And then later on, he picks up that theme again when he says to outdo others in showing honor. One translation has practice playing second fiddle. And then down in the 16th verse, he says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty and never be conceited. The church is a family. The church is a wonderful family. And Paul gives a description of that family when he talks about love. He talks about authentic love. Love each other like the members of your family. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Let it be authentic. Many of you know that we're involved in this emphasis called Growing Young, which they have identified a number of churches across the nation that are growing and attracting young people. That's bucking the national trend. So they've gone all around and they've asked these young people, what is it that draws you to your church? What do you love most about your church? Wes, brother, I hate to tell you, but it's not the music. Ray, brother, I hate to tell you, but it's not the preaching. You know what it is? It's love. It's a family. One girl, 20 years old, said, I love my church. I think my church is amazing because everyone knows each other and we all care about each other. She says it's not like compartmentalized between generations or different types of people. It's just one big family. That's who we are in the church. The reason I had Kathy to read that passage from the second chapter of Luke about Jesus when he was 12 is not for the usual reason that we look at that passage, but I want you to think about something. What would happen in today's world if a child, 12-year-old child, goes missing for 3 days? Well, number one, we would all panic. There would be amber alerts. There would be pictures posted looking for the child. But you know, they were not too concerned about it because they knew that wherever Jesus was, he was with family. Somebody would feed him. Somebody would make sure he had a place to sleep at night because they're all family. It's kind of like a lot of us. When I was a kid growing up, my parents, in the summertime, I could leave early in the morning on my bicycle. They wouldn't worry about me because everybody in the community was family. And if I had a need, they would look after me. And I knew if I did something wrong, it would be reported back to mom and dad. We were all family, and we loved each other. In the family of faith, we are encouraged to use our gifts, and we are encouraged to be enthusiastic. I love the way one translation puts this. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. In fact, it says, be on fire with the Spirit as you serve the Lord. That's why we need more people, Betty Jane, to share their gifts. That's why we need to hang out with these young people and these children so that we can feel their enthusiasm. That is contagious. But we all know. In fact, a lot of us were downstairs in the fellowship hall talking about our church. And my son, Ray Nance, he said, you realize it's not all unicorns and what else did he say? And fairy tales or rainbows, yeah. He said, it's not all unicorns and rainbows. Now, we know that's true because we're human beings. Because we are sinners. Wes, did I ever tell you about my first Sunday as pastor of a church? Oh, you got to hear this. So I'm 23 years old. How old are you? 28 years old. There was a lady, her name was Miss Louise White. She had been the music director since the Reformation. Now, you see what's happening now. We have a music minister who's 28, and he's working with a preacher who's been here since the Reformation. You've got to get that. So it's my first Sunday as pastor, and I am so excited. I had planned this beautiful service of worship, and it was October 1977. And I remember pulling up in front of that beautiful brick church and little church that sits up on a hill in Pollocksville. And they had a marquee, a sign that said, welcome to our new pastor, Ray Howell. And I got out of my car. I mean, I was just so excited. I had on my three-piece light blue polyester suit. That's what we did back then. I had blue patent leather shoes. You could see yourself in them. I mean, I was marching up that sidewalk. It was my first Sunday. I was so excited. I was on fire with the Spirit. Here comes a little old lady. A little old lady who comes walking around the corner, and I'm thinking, you know, the little old ladies are the ones who love you the most. They're the ones who encourage you. They're the ones who are always going to be there for you. I can't wait to meet my first little old lady in my church. So I walk up and I said, good morning, ma'am. My name is Ray Howell. I'm your new preacher. And I stuck out my hand. She didn't take my hand. She glared at me with fire in her eyes. And she said, I know who you are. She said, you're the preacher. You do the preaching. I'm the music director. I select the music. And as long as you understand that, we'll get along just fine. And then she marched off. True story. I mean, I hadn't even walked in the building. Somebody was talking to me the other day and said something about, you know, we get our feelings hurt in church. And I said, if I had quit every time I got my feelings hurt, I'd have never walked in the first day. But you know, as time went on, we got to know each other. We respected each other. We loved each other. In fact, Miss Louise had a brain aneurysm. I was on the rescue squad, and she almost died. I was holding her in my arms as we took her to the hospital. I did let her select the music, though, from then on. But that's who we are. We make mistakes. We say things we should not say. But we're all sinners. Someone shared something with me that I thought was so significant. It's the words of Henry Nouwen. And it's because of all of the terrible things that have happened in our nation over the past few weeks, all of the shootings and the hurt. It's called the way of the broken. But I think it speaks to all of us. Nouwen writes, "You know about the broken world. You know about brokenness in your country. But most personally, you know it more in your intimate life. You know we are broken people, and we suffer from very intimate pains. The pain for a desire of intimacy that has not been fulfilled. The pain of a relationship that did not work. The pain of an addiction that is so hard to confess. The secret pain of loneliness that can bite us so much. And I would like to say to you, don't be afraid of your pain, but dare to embrace it. If you are wounded, and I know that you are, put your brokenness under the blessing. We're called to give our lives to others so you and I can bear fruit. And all the brokenness and all the dying, all the suffering is there to allow us to enter into solidarity with the whole human family, to give ourselves to others so that your life can bear fruit." What a beautiful picture of who we are as the people of God. If we can be authentic and allow our brokenness to be put under the blessing of the church, the blessing of the family of God, the blessing of God's love and God's grace. So that's who we are, dear friends. We are the church. We have different gifts. We all have different gifts and different abilities. But we also have brokenness and pain. We have limitations and we have made mistakes. But we all come back together because God has forgiven us, and so we forgive others. And in so doing, we're made one in the family of God. This morning, as we come to the conclusion of our service, we're going to sing a beautiful old hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." If there's someone here today who would like to unite with the fellowship of this church, we would love for you to come and make it official. If there's someone here today who has a spiritual commitment, we would invite you to come as we stand and sing, because we are family. We are the church. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and sing together.
Let us pray. O Lord, for the blessings of this in all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Accept not just these gifts, offerings, and tithes, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you may take us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for being a part of this service. Julia Dunn, thank you for making this great need, making it alive today for us. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion. If you're like me, I can't remember all this wonderful food she showed the kids, but if you take a picture of it, then you go to the grocery store and you said, oh yeah, I need to get some of those frosted strawberry pastries. So that's a good thing to do. And I was impressed that all of this was just a little over $6. So that is a great thing. I hope we'll continue to support the backpack program. Thank all of you for being a part of this. Betty Jane, the anthem was wonderful. Thank you. And Beverly, thank you for what you do for us every Sunday and the choir. Now, we're focusing on the church's family in the month of September, so we're going to do something a little different for the benediction. And I'm going to ask you to do something. If you don't feel comfortable, then that's okay. I'd like for everybody to join hands. And we're going to sing together our benediction. We are one in the bond of love. If you need the words, they're printed in the bulletin. We're going to sing it together, just the one stanza, and that will be our benediction.